It's so good to be with you in this time of worship, in this style of sharing together. And I'm thankful to be with you. I'd like to read with you from the book of Jeremiah. These are words of our faith, the 33rd chapter. "These days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout, a new line from David, and he will do what is just and right in the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which we will be called. The Lord is our righteous Savior." Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, trying to install puppet kings, not respecting Israel's borders, working and influencing with economic sanctions. We wouldn't understand any of that, would we? Reality, we're playing the same games, just with different names. A short version of the book of Jeremiah for the people of Israel is that it's dark. Where is God? Why is God? How is God? The northern tribes of Israel have been taken into captivity, and the southern tribes, who draw out their vowels, Judah. Man, that's a good name. That's an East Texas name, not really a biblical name, like Jethro. That's a good one, too. The northern tribes have been carried into captivity, and exile is imminent for the people of Judah. And they ask, "Oh God, what in the hope is going on?" And the book is difficult, this book of Jeremiah, except for this little section in Jeremiah 30 through 33, which we've just read, known to scholars as the Book of Consolation. I know there's an academic understanding to that word, but that is an awful, awful name. Josh Holcomb is one of the best pastors I know of. And when we were kids, someone had given me two sample packs of Curve cologne. We talking. Josh very thoughtfully gave me a gift. And I thought, oh, I have a gift for you too. And I re-gifted that Curve to Josh. That's a consolation, right? Nobody wants a consolation. This is not a book of consolation. These are words of hope. That though you may be carried into exile, God remembers. God is present even in the exile. English philosopher, 20th century, Bernard Williams, says that no problem nor no night will overcome a sunrise of hope. Hope waits for the sun to rise. And that's good. Someone amen to that earlier, and I thought for a moment, we might be in a Baptist church. I'm not really sure. One of the things going on at this moment in history, one of the things that influences this mess that Israel has gotten in, is they've forgotten not the law, they've forgotten who their God was. They've forgotten how to live with one another. They've forgotten how to be in the land as God described. They have forgotten that Egypt and Assyria and Babylon are not our competition. They are supposed to be the subjects of our blessing. And one of the things that Israel has forgotten is that God suggested for the land to rest. Every seventh year there should be rest. Every seventh day there should be rest. One of the things I find ironic is as the people are taken captive into exile, the land rests. And as they had no land to work, they themselves rest. What in your life needs to rest? What needs to lay fallow? What needs to sit? What needs to chill? This was not a sole contemporary issue. Exile is historical and accumulative of the communal people forgetting and wandering away from God. I'm guessing that there are God-fearing, justice-seeking people in this group that are taken to Babylon, which begs the question, what do we do with these massive movements that are beyond our control that impact our lives? Were you up all night last night with the news? I was. The news that in 4 billion years from today, it's likely that our Milky Way galaxy, 100,000 light years wide, is set to collide with Andromeda, our nearest neighbor. Start your clock. Here we go. I mean, that kept me up last night. What do we do with these movements at a universal level that we can't do anything about? There's not enough Priuses in the state of California to influence this reality. And the pleasure to meet Imam Samir from the local mosque, an incredible man who loves this church. Wow, that is awesome. And he told me, Jake, I like it here. Lubbock's great. But I didn't want to come here. War has flattened my home. And he said, I was sent here to Lubbock. I have a sister in Iceland and a sister in Canada. And as I'm supposed to be pastoral, I'm just thinking about someone from the desert moving to Canada and Iceland. That's interesting. T.S. Eliot says, teach us to care. Teach us to not care. Teach us to sit. And this is where you discern. In the face of these massive movements, of which we may have no influence, you discern. You work the hope. Is this something we should care about? Is this something we should not care about? Is this something that God is calling me to sit and simply be in the presence of the divine? All of history, all of this moment, and all of the future is reoriented around the arrival of Christ. Advent is the beginning of our liturgical year. Advent is the beginning of the season. With the arrival of Christ, the whole thing finally starts. This is the beginning, a new hope. And so I would like to suggest to you that henceforth, anything that has taken place here in the last 124 days, I will not be held responsible for. Today is the start of our relationship. Let's do it, friends. Are there other relationships this Advent that you might need to start anew? A clean slate? A fresh go? Maybe there are spaces anew that Christ might show up in your life. A friend of mine had done some important yet controversial work, and a fellow pastor came out in the public sector and offered some awful commentary. And it haunted my friend. He said, for about 2 years, I had trouble sleeping. What's keeping you up at night? Who is keeping you up at night? Might there be a fresh start for you, for them, this Advent? My friend told me that there was an event coming up in which he would see this fellow pastor, and he was just mulling it over. What am I going to do? How should we move forward? So he decided, I'm going to go straight up to the guy, and I'm going to hug him. which is further evidence that he's a better pastor than me. I'm not a hugger. Never does a hug sound good to me. So I said, I don't know, man. You do whatever you think you need to do. But I came up to the guy and hugged him. And you know what? Their relationship was never reconciled. And it doesn't matter. Because when he hugged him, he moved into a higher, newer level of consciousness that this thing that had been keeping him up at night now had skin. Who do you need to hug? I'm just going to handshake, so I'm thinking of people I need to handshake. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe you've been telling yourself a narrative, and that narrative needs not be told any longer, and that a fresh start for you is to no longer shake that hand, to no longer ascribe to that narrative. Martin Luther King Jr. says that we accept indefinite disappointment, but we live with infinite hope. May hope, may a new fresh start help you sleep tonight. This is the beginning of a liturgical year. Liturgy, that's a $2 word, yeah. Grad school, fun. With Greek and Latin origins, you well know that this word often connotes the work of a people. And originally in Athens, a liturgy was an offering that wealthy people would participate in the public sector, that they would fund a gymnasium. Maybe wish we would have, was at a soccer field, but you know, gym will work for now. The gymnasium and the theater were the center of Greek culture. And so a liturgy would be to bring in and to pay out of your own purse the singers and the actors to perform in a theater. What is a new level of generosity that God might be birthing in you this Advent? This is the beginning. Further, if that inspires not a financial contribution, what are ways that you can show up to be skin, to be present, to be generous with your person at the gymnasium, at the theater, and in our community? God is calling you to a new level of consciousness and generosity. As the church developed, this word liturgy became known for our prayers, our togetherness, our worship services, our homilies, and so forth. Very early on in the church, the liturgy was simply, hey guys, welcome to my house. There's some food, there's some wine, we're going to pray. Don't forget to give money to Susie. Very early on, liturgy had no form. That's fantastic. Hope does not seek to create form. Hope seeks possibility. As you enter into that relationship, that new thing, maybe if we could put aside the form and instead celebrate the possibility. How many relationships are you in right now where you thought it was going to start out like this, but really it ended up like this? That's hope, Advent, and possibility. That new job, that new pastor you called and you thought he was going to be good, but he ended up being a different kind of good. Hope seeks not form. Hope seeks possibility. And God turns possibility into grace, grace, grace. Be very careful if you Google dances that do not touch. That's what I did this week, looking for this style of dance. First of all, know thy limits. I cannot dance. My wife will affirm everything I have just said. But what I was really enamored by is this Renaissance style or these versions of waltz in which two persons would begin with a bow and a curtsy. Now, I'm able to curtsy so well because I'm wearing a dress. And this etiquette initiates what will follow, and that we're agreeing to partner in this thing going forward. Yet, for some of these waltzes, the two might circle one another. Okay, this is my dance move, right? This is my circle. The two might circle one another for some amount of time without ever even touching. And then there's this moment often where they put their hand up like this, and their partner puts their hand up, and they meet. Hope is in the space after the old thing, and yet before the hands touch and the new thing is fully understood. Hope is when we're in a foreign land, and yet we trust in the promises of God but have no idea what possibility might lie ahead. Hope is a new relationship. What do we do? What do we say? I don't know. Yet it's before it's fully known. Now, we in the person of Christ get a glimpse of what it's like when God and people touch. But until then, we are invited to dance with the divine, circling, bowing, curtsying, waiting for God to show. Hope doesn't float, it waits. Hope creates new things. Hope moves together with another. Let's dance. Pray with me. Oh Christ, you are the center. Help us, help our community, help our world face towards the center. We know that there is so much left to do. We trust that your plans are far greater than our plans. Help us to move towards you. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. You are the Lord, Jesus. Amen.